decades, we have talked a lot about how public health data and public health expenditures should be categorized for analytical purposes. But rarely, if ever, at one of these type of conferences have we ever gotten the perspective from policymakers on how they feel that data should be accumulated and categorized. And this morning we have the opportunity to hear from Jason Fernandez from the Georgia State Senate Budget and Evaluation Office, who's going to present to us his work that he's done so proudly in this area.
Thank you, Peggy. My name is Jason Fernandez, and I work for the Georgia Senate Budget Office. I would like to thank you for allowing me to present on program budgeting and the priorities legislators have when developing a program structure for the appropriations bill. These priorities were developed and implemented when the Georgia Department of Human Resources, or DHR, proposed a program structure for appropriations that legislators felt did not address their needs for appropriating money. First, I want to go over the past. In 2005, the Georgia General Assembly switched from appropriating money to object classes to appropriating money to programs. To understand the legislative perspective fully, one needs to understand the implications of this transition. When budgets were first developed at the turn of the 20th century, budgeters were predominantly concerned about corruption and the misuse of government resources. As a result, budgets were designed to control inputs. These input budgets allocated resources to object classes such as salaries, rent, travel, contracts, etc., just to name a few. While Georgia reported functional and programmatic categories in its budget, legal restrictions on appropriations as well as audit requirements were attached to object class categories. Under this restriction, for example, an administrator who wanted to automate a system could only move 2% of funds between salaries and computer purchases, while funds could be moved freely between functional or programmatic categories. As a result, little attention or legislative oversight was given to the careful designation of program structures. With object class budgets, legislators focused on the money associated with inputs and thus were likely to ask questions about whether allocations for inputs, such as personnel, travel, or motor vehicles, were too much or too little. Strategically, this traditional budget allowed legislators to control aspects of agency activities such as the number of people employed or whether an agency contracted out a service or provided it in-house. The problem with this orientation is that legislators are never going to know, as much as administrators, how best to deploy resources. The Georgia legislature, like the majority of states, is part-time, and the exercise of object class controls leads, often rightly, to charges of unproductive micromanagement. It can also lead to very low levels of agency accountability since the information provided sheds no light on whether the agency is actually achieving meaningful results with the money it receives. While legislators may want to continue to keep an eye out on object classes to make sure that agencies are not hiring too many people or going to too many conferences, using an input orientation as the centerpiece of budgetary information is not an effective use of legislative or administrative resources. What legislators should know better than many managers are the expectations and goals of the public about a public service. When Georgia switched to program budgeting, the transition was intended to reorient legislative decision-making toward the goals and objectives that they wanted an agency to achieve, the application of resources to this end, and the evaluation of agency progress. Agency managers should be free to come up with the methods and activities to achieve these goals and objectives and held accountable for progress. The switch to programs requires agencies, the executive, and legislative branch to answer the key question, what is a program? The textbook criterion for defining a program in a budget is that it should be a cluster of activities oriented toward a single objective or end product, and most states reflect this general definition. This question is important because the switch to program budgeting has policy and strategic implications closely tied to the legal framework surrounding the Georgia state budget. Where previously a line item designation had locked an agency into a certain level of spending on inputs, now agencies are locked into a certain level of spending according to program. Only 2% of funds can be transferred between programs without approval from the legislator's Fiscal Affairs Committee, and the audit process will assess agency spending by program. Thus, for strategic and management reasons, agencies in the executive branch prefer to define programs very broadly. Large programs encompassing many different services give the agency and the governor the discretion to move money freely between many competing public services, and thus the power to determine state priorities and policy. When developing the program structure, legislators and staff were concerned with three considerations to evaluate whether the program structure would meet the needs of the legislature. The first set of considerations reflects a pure policy orientation. Does a program encompass a single product or service associated with a distinct set of outcomes? This consideration is an effort to try to cluster programs around outcomes, products, and services. For instance, in DHR's proposed program, Health Information and Assessment, epidemia and vital records were put into that. Although epidemiology may rely to some degree on records, on the data in vital records, and both are involved in data collection, public expectations and the outcomes associated with these public services are distinct. Vital records, which are birth certificates, death certificates, their outcomes are associated with good customer service and making these records available to the public, as well as the accuracy of record keeping. In contrast, epidemiology is concerned with the tracking and monitoring of diseases, injuries, and at times population health indicators. Therefore, these programs should be distinct. And you can see here that where we put in the Appropriation Act, they are two different programs with two different legal restrictions. A related issue is defining programs so that the associated outcomes can be measured and evaluated within a budgetary cycle. Here, the concepts of short-term, intermediate, and long-term outcomes are particularly useful. Short-term outcomes are ones over which an agency is likely to have more direct control and are often easier to measure in a budget cycle, whereas long-term outcomes are more difficult to measure and may not be within a particular program's control. When Georgia legislators meet each January for their session, they look at two budgets, one that adjusts funds for the remainder of the fiscal year and the budget for the next fiscal year. In effect, they prioritize funding for 18 months at a time. Using short-term to intermediate outcomes to define programs allows the General Assembly to monitor progress toward their goals at the beginning of each session. In consideration number one, it was asserted that programs that produce similar outcomes should be combined. This enhances accountability and saves duplicative costs. Consideration two, though, looks at times when it might be beneficial to not be as rigid with these criteria. On one hand, for example, for evaluation purposes, it may be helpful to leave a fragmented program structure in order to compare strategies to determine which is more effective. On the other hand, maybe the need for big programs. For example, a particular dilemma in public health was the cost associated with disaggregating existing programs into smaller units, which raised issues of cost accounting, as well as legislative concerns over having too many programs in to track in the budget. To illustrate, injury prevention was initially broken out with the idea that preventing injuries was a discrete set of activities. However, to truly capture the service-outcome relationship, the budget would have to had to disaggregate injury prevention into its component parts, since the short-term and intermediate outcomes of interest were really associated with programs such as suicide prevention and child and automobile safety. Yet injury prevention only has a total budget of about $400,000 in an $18 billion budget. Disaggregation would create highly fragmented funding streams for the agency and clutter the legislative budget with very small programs. Consideration number three is political will. Legislative willingness to demand a more refined program structure oftentimes rests on the relationship it has with an agency. If legislators trust that an agency would use funds in line with legislative intent, they are more likely to accommodate broader program designations. In contrast, legislators might make a point of trying to designate programs carefully and specifically if they are concerned about the diversion of resources or poor management. Another variation of this consideration is exposing or hiding a program because of political reasons. While purists might object to straying from a well-reasoned program structure, the reality is that legislators many times want activities hidden or exposed for political reasons. These issues may vary from showing they are fulfilling goals they have made publicly or hiding activities such as family planning, which are controversial among different groups. Another instance of political will is the designation of a short-term program. A good example is the Y2K funding. Though these computer services impact many outcomes and thus should be spread among an agency's program, it is much easier to have these funds itemized so that they can be easily reduced when the project is complete. Finally, part of the political dynamic was whether the legislature was willing to expend political capital on a fight with the agency and the governor over a program structure. Adding to this are the different agendas in each chamber of the legislature. This political dynamic is evident in the program Adolescent and Adult Health Promotion, which you can see here. Sorry for being too small. The Senate staff, which was me, initially asserted that this program included a number of distinct outcomes and should be disaggregated. As you can see here, there's domestic violence prevention, cancer screening and prevention, family planning, stroke and heart attack prevention. All of these would have different outcomes over a budgetary cycle. However, in order to get a budget passed and a program structure approved, we had to compromise, and this became our catch-all program. While these considerations are messy and are oftentimes contradictory, many times so is the legislature, these considerations, though, should give you a brief glimpse into the priorities and comfort level of the legislature when it comes time to appropriate money.